In the name of Allah, the All-Beneficent, the All-Merciful.
Essentiality of the Imam, peace be upon him.
We should know that there is a difference of opinion among the religious scholars, whether the appointment of an Imam is essential or not after the passing of the period of prophethood. If it is obligatory, on whom? On Allah or on the community? Anyhow, its being essential is a demand of reason, that is, does mind call for his essentiality or the essentiality is based on the herd arguments?
All the followers of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, are unanimous that it is essential for Allah, both from the viewpoint of reason and the divine texts, that he should appoint the Imam. Then you observe a complete agreement between them. In contrary, some Bakris and Umaris, self-called Ahli Sunnat, Mu'tazila, and Al-Khawarij, believe that it is not at all necessary for either Allah or the people to appoint an Imam. While some other self-called Ahli Sunnat, that is to say, the Ash'ariyah, say that people must appoint an Imam as a demand of textual proof and not of intelligence. A group of the Mu'tazila is of the opinion that it is necessary for the people to appoint an Imam in the time of peace to save them in the time of turmoil, that if there is a danger of mischief then it is not necessary, and some opine contrary to this also. Then you observe a complete disagreement between them.
In the Arab lexicon, Imam means a leader and commander, and in the terminology of the followers of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, Imam means a man who has been appointed by Allah for the leadership of the universe and for deputyship of the messenger, and sometimes this word applies to the Prophet too, and it will, inshallah, be known hereafter in the following parts that, according to some reliable traditions, the rank of an Imam is higher than that of a messenger, as Allah has, after having granted Abraham, peace be upon him, prophethood, said to him, I will make you an Imam of men. 2:124.
All of the universal messengers of God had successors. God appointed his messengers for the guidance of mankind, and as a matter of necessity, he also appointed successors to the prophets and messengers. Similarly, the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad, was succeeded by 12 distinguished successors, one after another. These successors are called Imams and were appointed by God, not by the masses. The right to ordain Imams belongs to God alone. The Imams were the authorities of God among mankind, and they all had unique qualities in matters of knowledge, forbearance, morality, and justice. The Imam possesses some attributes such as infallibility, divinely endowed with knowledge, moral excellence, miracles, extraordinary genius, divine ordination and authorization, and so forth. As a matter of fact, there is no difference between a messenger and an Imam except what has been stated in the traditions, which shows the greatness and highness of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his progeny, and it is that he is the seal, that is to say, last in series and concluder of prophethood. Therefore, it is disallowed to use the name of the Holy Prophet and the titles of equal value for anyone after him, that is to say, Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his progeny. Subsequently, we believe that the words Imam or Ulama refer exclusively to the 12 Imams, that is Maulana Amirul Mu'mineen Al-Imam Ali and his 11 descendants, the progeny of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon them. It is seriously forbidden to use these words for others.
Sheikh Mufid, Rahmatullahi Alai, has in his book Masail mentioned his belief in this matter, saying, it is obvious that in previous communities, after the death of a messenger until the appointment of another shariat-giving or ulul-azm messenger, there used to be a number of prophets who were the legatees of the past messengers and the protectors of their codes of life. Therefore, from the leader of the prophets, peace be upon them, there is a tradition, the scholars of my ummah are like the prophets of Bani Israel, and some narrations have explained that here ulama means the imams, peace be upon them. It is obvious that the benefit, which is derived from the existence of a prophet, is also obtained from the existence of an imam, that is, the deterrence of corruption, protection of shariat, and to restrain people from oppression and sins.
Rational arguments showing that it is incumbent upon Allah to appoint an imam.
We hold many rational arguments to show that it is mandatory on Allah to appoint an imam, and thus arguments have been stated in detail in books like Ash-Shafi of Sayyid Murtaza, Rahmatullahi Alai, and Taqiz of Sheikh Tusi, Rahmatullahi Alai, etc. Here, we suffice with only two of them because the subject of our course is to mention the narratory traditions which have reached us through the Holy Quran and traditions of both the Shias and the self-called Sunnis.
First argument.
It is a mandatory divine mercy or lutf of Allah to appoint an imam, because it is essential for him to do things which are more beneficial for his servants, from the viewpoint that intelligence demands that all the deeds of ever-existing Allah should be always based on wisdom and strategy, and that a thing which is the best and most preferable and most beneficial when there is no deterrent, giving it up and its replacement except with a better one, is an act of giving preference to a lower thing which, in the opinion of intelligent, does not befit the deeds of the most graceful, wise Almighty Allah. So, now when the incumbency of the best thing has been proved, it is also essential that lutf should also be mandatory for Allah, because lutf means a thing which makes it easier for man to obey the divine commands and to refrain from his prohibited things, unless in exceptional difficulties, because reward or punishment depends on the existence of optional freedom. Therefore, those who are of the opinion that good and evil are rational things, and who believe that the best thing is obligatory, say that lutf and karam, grace and mercy, are obligatory for Allah.
The argument in its favor is that whatever Allah has made obligatory for his servants in this world is always the cause of many benefits and interests for people. In other words, duty includes grace, and grace is undoubtedly the best and better than anything else. So lutf, being the best, is mandatory for Allah. It is well known that the existence of an imam is a grace, lutf, because everybody knows that people should have a commander who may prevent them from trouble, mischief, corruption, oppression, and sins, and make them steadfast on obedience of Allah, worship, justice, and kindness. In such circumstances, doubtlessly the affairs of the people will be conforming with rules and well managed and nearer to betterment and farther from evils and corruption.
Second argument.
It is necessary that there should be a protector of the shariat of the Messenger of Allah, peace be upon him and his progeny, who may protect it from deviation, change, addition, and curtailment, and since the verses of the Holy Quran are comprehensive, many of the commands of the Quran are not discernible from their apparent wordings. So it is necessary to have a clarifier or explainer from Allah who can derive divine commandments from the Holy Book. Contrary to this, when the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, at the time of his demise, called for a pen and an ink pot, so that he may write down something for the Ummah, so that it may never go astray, Umar said, "This man, Allah forbid, is talking senselessly."
Umar said, "The Book of Allah is enough for us," despite the fact he did not know the explanation of even a single verse of the Holy Quran, and whenever any problem arose, both he and his companion used to remain helpless, and they were obliged to get it solved by Amirul Mu'minin al-Imam Ali, peace be upon him. So much so that the self-called Ali Sunnat have written that on 70 occasions, Umar had said, had there not been Ali, Umar would have been destroyed. Had the book been enough, why there would have been so much difference of opinion among the Ummah? In short, many arguments will be presented henceforth while explaining the verses and translating the traditions.